Hare Krishna.
Good morning to Radha Kalachandri Dham. Good morning
to all the
assembled devotees. Always the assembled devotees that we cannot always see with the material eye, but they're there nonetheless. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 28, Text 10, and today is already September the 10th, and for those of you that are still getting over last night's performance, it was a very wonderful performance at the Eisman Center. Very nice performance. I was relating to Maharaj that if I were not a devotee, after having seen the play, I would definitely want to come to a temple to see what it was all about. Very sweet, very sweet. But before we go into the shloka or the text, we like to always get the mercy of Krishna and understand how much love he has for us, for Radharani. But he loves us as much. So we'll sing Jaya Radha Madhava.
Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, 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 Jai Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari, 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 Yashoda Nandana Braja Chararanjanan, Yashoda Nandana Braja Chararanjanan, Yashoda Nandana Braja Chararanjanan, Yashoda Nandana Braja Chararanjanan, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, 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 Yashoda Nandana Braja Chararanjanan, Yashoda Nandana Braja Chararanjanan, Yashoda Nandana Braja Chararanjanan, Yashoda Nandana Braja Chararanjanan, Yamuna Tira Vanachari, Yamuna Tira Vanachar, Yamuna Tira Vanachari, Yamuna Tira Vanachari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, Hare Krishna.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Baladeva, Jaya Subhadra, Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Radha Govinda, Radha Govinda Radhe, Radha Govinda, Radha Govinda Radhe, Jaya Chotarada Kala Chanji, Chotarada Kala Chanji Radhe, Jaya Chotarada Kala Chanji, Chotarada Kala Chanji Radhe, Jaya Radha Kala Chanji, Radha Kala Chanji Radhe, Jaya Radha Kala Chanji, Radha Kala Chanji Radhe, Nitai Guru Haribo, 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 Nitai Goro Haribo, Nitai Goro Haribo, 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 Nitai Goro Haribo, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Jai Vaishnav Ki Jai. As I said earlier, we're reading from Canto 11, Chapter 28, and Text 10. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Gnana Tamarandasya Gananjanan Chalakaya Chakshun Miletam Yena Tashmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Chapter 28 covers Jnana Yoga, and we're reading from text 10, from chapter 28, canto 11. Sri Uddhava Yuvacha Naved Mano Nadehesha. Excuse me, Prabhu, but when I'm doing it, I'd like to kind of stick with my own. I appreciate. Oh, I'm sorry. You said that's not the verse on the board. Oh. We have the wrong verse? I think so. Yes, we do. Yeah, so yes, we do. Okay. Thank you so much. Sorry. No, I'm sorry. Okay. I do believe we did text 9 last week. But other than that, this is usually perfect and right on. Yeah, I definitely. It's, well, not really. Not really. Okay, so, Sri Uddhava Yuvacha Nevatmano Nadehesha Samstriya Dastriya Dreshya Yo Anatma Swadrisha Isha Kasha swad upalya byate Sri Udava yuvacha na vet mano na dehasha samstri drashti drihasya anatmano swadrisha isha kasha shiyad upalabhyate Sri Udava yuvacha nevatmano na dehasha samstri drashti drishyayo anatmano swadrisha isha kasha shvayat shiyad upalyabhyate. I sure hope this is the right one, but we're just going to go with it. Sri Udava yuvacha. Sri Udava said, na, there is not. Eva, indeed. Atmana, of the self. Na, nor. Dehasya, of the body, samstri, material existence, drastriya, driyasya, of the seer or the seen, anatma, of that which is not spirit, swadrisha, or of him who has innate knowledge. Isha, O Lord, Kasha, of whom, Shayat, may be, Upalabhyate, which is experienced. Now the translation here is Sri Udava talking to the Lord, and it's Sri Udava said, my dear Lord, it is not possible for this material existence to be the experience of either the soul, who is the seer, or of the body, which is the seeing object. On the one hand, the spirit soul is innately endowed with perfect knowledge. And on the other hand, the material body is not a conscious living entity. To whom then does this experience of material existence pertain? So again, Sri Udava said, my dear Lord, it is not possible for this material existence to be the experience of either the soul, who is the seer, or of the body, which is the seen object. On the one hand, the spirit soul is innately endowed with perfect knowledge, and on the other hand, the material body is not a conscious living entity. To whom then does this experience of material existence pertain? In the purport, since the living entity is pure spirit soul, innately full of perfect knowledge and bliss, and since the material body is a biochemical machine without knowledge or personal consciousness, who or what is actually experiencing the ignorance and anxiety of this material existence? The conscious experience of material life cannot be denied. And thus, Udava asked Lord Krishna this question to elicit a more precise understanding of the process by which illusion occurs. I thought this was interesting. It's a twofold question, but actually I
focused on Uddhava asking the Lord to explain how, or help him to understand how the process of illusion occurs. The scriptures are so clear. The answers are always there. So there were a number of different ways that we could go with this text. And I thought we would talk about the mode of ignorance, and just for example, giving a comparison of what a person does when they're in a different mode. And I went to Bhagavad Gita, I believe it's chapter 14, text 10. Let's see, text 10, 13, 17. But I'd like to read text 13 from the Bhagavad Gita. Of course, the shloka is very powerful. Prakasho pravitascha pramado maha evacha tamasi tanijayanti vavrite kuru nandana. When there is an increase in the mode of ignorance, O son of Kuru, darkness, inertia, madness, and illusion are manifested. When there is no illumination, knowledge is absent. One in the mode of ignorance does not work by a regulative principle. He wants to act whimsically for no purpose. Even though he has the capacity to work, he makes no endeavor. This is called illusion. Although consciousness is going on, life is inactive. These are the symptoms of one in the mode of ignorance. Going on to text 17. Sadvat sanjayate gnanam yajasho loba eva cha. Pamada mohata maso bhavata gnanam eva cha. From the mode of goodness, real knowledge develops. From the mode of passion, greed develops. And from the mode of ignorance, develop foolishness, madness, and illusion. And the point that keeps coming up intermittently is the difference in the mode of goodness and one being in the mode of ignorance is that there is a degree of knowledge that is present, whereas in the mode of ignorance, there does not appear to be a significant amount of knowledge. We could go one step further and push it to absolute knowledge. But the knowledge is missing when one is in the mode of illusion. When one is in the mode of
illusion, as is the material world. As a matter of fact, we're overwhelmed by it, bombarded by it. When one is in the mode of illusion, it's very easy for us to accept the fact, for instance, that it's okay to take the life of an animal, and not only to take the life of that animal, but to consume it. Well, when one is in the mode of ignorance, then one fails to simply understand that there are various needs, wants, and desires that both the two-legged animal and the four-legged animal have. The animal, four-legged animal, eats, sleeps, mates, and defends, as does the two-legged animal, the human entity. He also eats, sleeps, mates, and defends. And with even further knowledge, one may observe, or one may understand, just looking at the two bodies, that one is actually not really the body. Growing up in childhood, it was very easy to accept the principles that when we lived, we did all the right things in life, we died, left our bodies, and we went to heaven. And I was totally fine with that, because that was the degree of information and knowledge that I was able to handle at that time. But as time went on, I was, of course, a curious teenager who always had a rebuttal on if and what, why. As little ones do, and even big ones do, why? Explain to me. And I guess my parents determined that I was ready to accept a little bit of knowledge, because from their being or coming from the environment, a Creole environment, I felt their minds were very expanded, because they went a step further. And if someone left their body, depending on how they left their body, and all of a sudden a fly was buzzing around, my mom or dad would say, that's that particular person. They've come back and they're trying to explain what happened. And this was perfectly acceptable to me. Wow, I understood that. It's like, yeah, that's possible. So at that point, I understood that dying was not the end of an individual's life, but as far as I got was that, yes, you could change bodies and you could come back as a bug, and I was good. But I have to go even one step further to appreciate even my parents' perception of the soul, because even from that understanding, it made it a lot easier to accept the fact of reincarnation. I didn't realize that's what they were discussing or describing at the time, but actually they were talking about reincarnation. And then again,
thank you.
Much better. Thank you. Thank you, Mother Kuti. And then to make the point again of not being an illusion, it was that bit of knowledge that made it easier to understand life a little bit. With some of us, ignorance is bliss, because we're not ready to handle things. There's so many intelligent individuals out there, but because they're comfortable with where they are, no matter how logical this process sounds to them, they're much more comfortable living in a little ignorance, a little bliss, where bad is good, and they're okay with it. You're inundated by so much sense gratification, so much going on in the world where the absolute norm now is the abnormal. It's amazing the turnaround point that we've arrived at. But as I usually say, what's always encouraging is that this generation that's coming up here is questioning even more, and they seem to be on solid footing and understanding why this is happening, and they're open and receptive to the concept of one not being the body. So I am very much encouraged by the youth of today, no matter what you're reading in the newspaper. I'm very much encouraged by the fact that these individuals are eager to learn and not just be comfortable with understanding the limited amount that they may receive in the school system, the educational system. The point that I want to make again is that the end section of the translation here, text 10, is still Uddhava trying to find out under what conditions or what process occurs for illusion to develop. And as I said, the scriptures are so full of knowledge that it was kind of easy to just flip through and look at some different references. Chapter 9, text 1 of the scriptures also goes a little bit further. Confidential knowledge, very, very good, Mother Kunti. Why are you not here doing this? Confidential knowledge. That's the one. That would be the one. Oh, nah, nay, nay, nay. let's see, before... Now that Mother has specifically honed in on the section that we're covering, the most confidential knowledge, this is the shloka that chapter 9, the most confidential knowledge, starts with. It's a very good one to remember. Shri Bhagavan Yavacha Idam Tu Te Guyatamam Yavakshami Anusha Yave Jnanam Vijnanam Sahitam Yajnyatva Moksha Si Subhat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Arjun, because you are never envious of me, I shall impart to you this most confidential knowledge and realization, knowing which you shall be relieved of the miseries of material existence." So the more we talk about the knowledge that one needs to obtain in order to get out of the mode of illusion, we understand that we can't just go sometimes on what we think we know. Because even the most intelligent of us every day has something to learn, which is why one will hear that when you're taking to the Vedic, to Krishna consciousness, it is very important to take a guide, a guru. the old belief or one of the beliefs is that I don't need a guru. I can just grab one of Srila Prabhupada's books. That's very complimentary. Srila Prabhupada doesn't need the compliment. It's just that you need the personal association of one that has a higher level of knowledge to explain away occurrences in life. The most confidential knowledge that is in, getting back to the shloka, the most confidential knowledge, text one, Raja Vidya Rajad Guyam Pavitramidam Utamam Pradiyakshavagaman Dharmyam Susukam Kartam Avyayam. This knowledge is the king of education, the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge, and because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it is the perfection of religion. It is everlasting, and it is joyfully performed. Now, the other point that I came across when I was reading is that when you have perfect knowledge, you can kind of understand where things belong. You can see things in the right position. In the mode of goodness, but also with knowledge. It was a very specific to the point. There were so many points. Speaking of illusion, and then I'll get back to the other point, is that just like the magicians, the illusionists, Penn and Teller, Harry Houdini and David Copperfield, their fame is based on the fact that they're able to create illusions. And an illusion, according to, I don't even do according to Webster anymore. All you have to do is type in a word on the internet and it pops up all types of descriptions. So let's just say according to the internet info, illusion is a mirage, hallucination, apparition, deception, appearance, or impression. The point is, in order for one to be an illusion, one has to be, the correct description. One has to be short or lacking knowledge. To remove oneself from the state of not knowing, the intelligent individual has to open up and be receptive to the knowledge when one hears it. Now, when most devotees come into Krishna consciousness, there are a lot of things that go over our heads. And I always say that if it doesn't make sense, put it on a shelf and revisit it later. But the information that would relieve us of the tendency of remaining in knowledge is in our scriptures. If we can rise above the illusion of life, and we have to understand that material life is illusory, spiritual is genuine, and we have to know the difference. There's an old Christian saying that ties in to the scriptures, the Bhagavad Gita, and it says that one should wear the world as a loose garment, which means that we should not be so attached And even that takes that's a process, the process of attachment. We have loved ones. There are things that we're attached to in life, certain places that we're attached to going. And what to say of our loved ones? And don't even mention the grandchildren. They just have our hearts wrapped around their little fingers. It's difficult to put oneself in the position of being detached from those loving associations. But when you have the knowledge or the understanding that that particular individual that's right now in front of you, maybe your grandchild, maybe your daughter, maybe your husband, but they were something totally different in a different lifetime in a different body, then we'll begin to understand that even these material attachments are temporary. But the nice part about it is when we're going from one body to the other, these associations that we're having, and when we have associations or people come across our paths, it's not an accident. It is purposely orchestrated. The point I'm trying to make is that when we come across individuals that we feel we can't live without, or we have so much love for an individual that sometimes when one is on their deathbed, they're clinging on to life because they don't want to let it go. We have to realize that we are never really separated. We are always connected. And when we are in the spiritual world, in Krishna Loka, we will have the association of these individuals that we are so materially attached to. So we won't lose that association. But the point is, right now, where we are with the understanding, we need to understand what it takes to get back to the spiritual world. And that means that we have to recognize that there is no good or bad. There is no friend or enemy. If we could go through life equipoised, in the consciousness, in the mode of goodness, then whether we're in heaven or hell, we can actually get through those circumstances. And the point of getting through those circumstances are the methods by which one could rise above those circumstances is by absolute knowledge. Now, I didn't go any further in chapter 28, beyond text 10. But I am just going to imagine that somewhere in the process of the next couple of texts that we will understand what we've heard so many times before, how important it is to have information, to have perfect information, to have absolute knowledge, knowledge that's not been, it's fixed, it hasn't been tampered with. It is as it is. And the Bhagavad Gita as it is, also in that title states it. This is it. This is from the Lord's mouth. These are words that are coming from the Lord's mouth. And while it takes a while for us to imbibe the words, what's being said, and to acclimate our lives to this, we all have different levels and different points where we can just take to Krishna consciousness or God consciousness. Others, it takes a while. And the point I'm making there is that we should not compare ourselves with others on this road of realization. We've come from different backgrounds, from different lifetimes. But understand, you are where you are because you have placed yourself in that particular position. No accidents. We can't blame Krishna for it. Krishna, however, can control the level of whatever it is that we're going through. And that's also something that we need to understand. And that's very difficult for others to understand too. But that's why it's important to have this knowledge. We need to understand that when things occur in life, as painful as they are, there's a reason behind that. Getting back to text 10 again to reiterate. It's a conversation Sri Uddhava is asking. My dear Lord, it is not possible for this material existence to be the experience of either the soul, who is the seer, or of the body, which is the seen object. On the one hand, the spirit soul is innately endowed with perfect knowledge. And on the other hand, the material body is not a conscious living entity. To whom then does this experience of material existence pertain? Since the living entity is pure spirit soul, the purport goes on, innately full of perfect knowledge and bliss, and we are actually full of knowledge and bliss and eternality, Satchidananda. But we get sidetracked with these bodies. And since the material body is a biochemical machine without knowledge or personal consciousness, who or what is actually experiencing the ignorance and anxiety of this material existence? The conscious experience of material life cannot be denied. And thus, Uddhava asks Lord Krishna this question to elicit a more precise understanding of the process by which illusion occurs. And we'll end at this point. And again, I have to thank Mother Kunti for bringing to my attention that we were definitely on two different levels, or two different pages. So I appreciate that, Mother, again. So we'll end at this point chapter 28, text 10. Mother Kunti, would you like to share any comments or corrections or realizations? Please feel free to do so, because we'll stop at this point. We could go on. You were such a sweetheart. You are such a sweetheart. You are such a sweetheart, and Krishna definitely has his hand in your hand. Yes. I don't know if anyone can hear. Usually, if you don't have a mic, it's usually over there. Well, go ahead. Well, you can share this one.
So, Trinidad is asking, is the experience of the body an experience of the soul or of an inanimate object, which is the body? So the question is, who is actually experiencing?
That's a very good question. I would automatically think that the senses are experiencing it. The mind, but the mind is material. But the intelligence does go with us lifetime after lifetime. The mind is taking into account the spirit soul. Is actually going from one body to the next. And it's almost like a pilot's or a perfect pilot sitting in a plane, watching and observing, but not being affected by the things that he's noticing that are happening, because in actuality in the material world, what's going by us, what's happening, is all an illusion. The material body just happens to be the vessel that the spirit soul is contained in. So in some circumstances, the senses of the material body are experiencing. The spirit soul is observing, but not being affected by it, because it is absolutely full of perfect knowledge. And the more we understand that we are just going through the experiences and we're not being affected by it, the more we will understand how much like the Supreme Personality we are. Your question is, who's actually experiencing this? The spirit soul is observing. The material body is experiencing, but it's almost like a false experience, because the body is determining whether or not whatever's happening is good or bad, and it really isn't. I would have to say, Mother Kunti, that my thinking from this question is that, and you can correct me, because that's the nice part about these conversations that we have on the scriptures. But my understanding, my level of understanding, is that the material body will falsely experience the good and the bad. The spirit soul is simply observing, like the bird in the tree. You see all these things that are going by, just as the Paramatma is there, observing, being totally unaffected by it. So I cannot say that the spirit soul is experiencing it, because it's not being affected by it. What is your understanding of it, Mother Kunti? The spirit soul is, the spirit soul is observing what is going on, but not being affected by it. The body, the material body, the vessel that the spirit soul is contained in, with the material senses, is having this sense of good or bad. The material body, but it's falsely experiencing it. Absolutely. Absolutely. Consciousness. Consciousness. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, that's why it's important sometimes, no, it's important all the time to be open to others' thoughts, because as the saying goes, no man is an island. We cannot possibly consume everything and know everything. There will always be a different twist or a different take on a particular subject. And Mother Kunti, I appreciate your knowledgeable presence and being here, because it sharpens me also. Surrounded by other gold mines. Surrounded by other gold mines. But we'll end at this point. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premananda.